You're listening to the Nick Smith Podcast.
Real life, no myth.
Where we talk about myths and misunderstandings
surrounding life, race, faith, and culture.
If you'd like to support the Nick Smith Podcast, rate us on iTunes.
Or you can give through our Patreon.
And don't forget to share this on social media so that all of your friends can know what you're listening to.
We are your hosts, Nick Smith
and Kylie Jo Smith. And today's episode is called One or the Other.
Misunderstandings of forgiveness and justice. So today's episode is going to be a little heavier. We're on the heavy side of things, but that's because sometimes in our world there's some stuff that happens. And what we're talking about today is this idea of forgiveness and how that interacts with the idea of justice.
Yeah.
And a lot of times in our society, in our culture, we see it painted one or the other. And so this conversation actually hits a little close to home. We're going to be talking about the Botham Jean case. We're going to be talking about a new case that actually just surfaced yesterday.
Yeah. And
we're just going to talk about how this all impacts our lives. But the personal side of it is, for those of you who don't know and don't know me personally, my older brother, Darren Williams, was actually murdered on Good Friday of 2018.
Yeah.
And so we're going on a year and a half that he's been gone, and there hasn't been any justice. There's been no arrests. There's been no anything in this case. And so having that personal attachment to this issue does carry a little more weight, at least for our family.
Yeah.
And so hopefully in this conversation, you'll be able to hear our hearts. You'll be able to hear just a different perspective. And so aside from my brother's case, which again, we're still praying that something happens on that. What we're talking about is the Botham Jean and Amber Geiger case. What happened in that situation was Amber Geiger, who was an off-duty Dallas police officer, walked into the wrong apartment and shot and killed Botham Jean, thinking it was her own apartment. And then during the trial, Botham's brother, Brant, offered forgiveness to Amber Geiger.
Yeah.
And he asked to hug her. He preached to her, really. He presented the gospel to her.
Mm-hmm.
And after the judge sentenced Amber, there was a moment between the judge and Ms. Geiger where the judge gave her a Bible, told her about a verse, and sincerely wished that Amber would find wholeness in Scripture. And so this whole situation has caused all sorts of outrage and uproar, and there's been a lot of loud voices on both sides. And then not to mention afterwards, Joshua Brown, who was Botham's neighbor, who testified during the trial, was found murdered. And now there's no lead saying the police did it, but there's still a lot of shady stuff around the whole situation.
Yeah.
Where his safety may have been able to be procured by the police department, and it wasn't. And so it's just it's a crazy situation that's happening. And because of the age of social media, we get to watch it all unfold almost minute by minute.
Yeah.
We get to see when these things happen, see the sentencing, see the reaction, see the responses, and then also see everyone's opinion about it. And so sometimes it's hard, especially for Christians, because we get so caught up in which side of the fence we're on. We get mm-hmm. so caught up in our personal emotions and all this stuff that we forget that there is a guideline for us as believers.
Yeah.
That we have a line to toe. We are supposed to be the ones who are shining the light of Christ into these situations and speaking not from a worldly standpoint, but speaking from a scriptural standpoint.
Yeah. And so often, I think we see a desire to, I think the intention a lot of times is good for believers. Like, I want to speak on this. I want to offer something, but there's this misinformation. We also have this ignorance that prevents us from seeing things accurately.
Yeah.
And so what you said, you know, there's all of these perspectives that we get offered, and there's a lot of times a desire to comment on it because, you know, I want my unbelieving friends to know something true, but I also don't want to offend anybody. And so in an effort to speak on justice, forgiveness, mercy, whatever other words we want to throw in there, we a lot of times we muddy up the gospel.
Yeah.
And we'll say, well, you know, I think this is the way it should have been, because in my opinion, you know, if I was Lord of this universe, this is how I would have done it. And the reality is, you're not the Lord of this universe. And the one who is has seen fit to give us true justice. But at the same time, we live in a broken world where unjust things happen.
Yeah, so we're not see justice.
Right, and we're not supposed to be the ones to offer like our solution of how justice should be enacted. We're the ones that are supposed to show people the hope and the reality of eternal justice in spite of what we're experiencing here.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of believers, is to point people to Christ, but a lot of times we just end up pointing them back to our human opinion.
Yeah.
And really damaging a good opportunity to witness to people.
I think it happens not only in issues of justice and injustice, but it happens a lot anytime there's a major tragedy.
Yeah.
That you have people that are so quick to want to say something that's an ism, mm-hmm. or that's something that they think's going to bring comfort, mm-hmm. or that they think if they say it, you know, just don't pull any punches and say it the way that it's supposed to be.
Tell it like it is.
Tell it like it is.
That's a favorite phrase we have nowadays.
Right?
Tell it like it is.
Then maybe they can, you know, get some truth into somebody. But a lot of times in an effort to say something and just get a message out, we end up losing compassion in the moment.
Yeah.
And we end up losing that relational aspect of what the gospel is.
It's not a license for us to, well, I'm telling it like it is, but I have absolutely no love in my heart when I do it.
And
that's,
you know,
not
what
it's about.
I think that's something we need to talk about next week on the next week's episode. Next week's episode, tell it like it is. But so let's just get a bearing here before we move forward. What is forgiveness?
Mm. Oh my goodness.
It's a loaded word.
It is.
But
there's a definition. There's a definition. So
what is it? What you got?
So forgiveness is actually a conscious, deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment or vengeance toward a person or a group who has personally harmed you. So there's a lot of personal, there's a personal nature to that definition.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of whether or not that person or people deserve your forgiveness for the harm they've done, forgiving is, again, just the release of the feeling. So forgiveness, nowhere in there does it say that. And that's a psychological definition. That's not me making something up. It's from the internet. So look it up.
So it's gotta be true.
It's gotta be true.
From the webs.
It's on Al Gore's internet. So it's gotta be real. But just seriously, it is a personal release of feelings.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is the idea of forgiveness is a personal decision to relinquish feelings of malice, feelings of hatred, even feelings of vengeance towards a person or a group of people who have personally
harmed you.
Okay. So what's interesting, what I like about that definition, because I have to define forgiveness so often for people, and I normally go straight biblical with just like withholding wrath, right? Giving up what we say as pastors generally is like forgiving someone is saying, I'm giving up my right to punish.
Yes.
Right. It's a saying God is the one that punishes. But what I like about the definition that you shared is what we misunderstand so often about forgiveness is it is a choice of a person to forgive. We had a professor, and hopefully he's listening to this. Tom Fry, if you're listening, shout us out. But I remember talking to Tom one time, and he said, you know, if you slap me in the face, you don't get to tell me when I have to forgive you. You slap me in the face, I get to make that choice when I'm ready to forgive.
Yeah, when I'm ready to release.
That's right. And you can't dictate forgiveness to other people.
Yeah.
And you can't tell people like, hey, that's not that big a deal. You have to forgive. Now, as Christians, we have a certain mandate.
Yes.
But we're told as a group of people or as individuals that, hey, you have to forgive no matter what, or you need to forgive this whole system.
Mm.
And it's like, no, forgiveness is about an individual offense that I feel. And whether or not you see my feelings as valid, they are.
Yes.
And so I have to make that decision based on where I am in my relationship with Jesus, based on all that, to make the decision to forgive. And what we see in the case with Brant Jean offering forgiveness, it's an awesome image of Christ's love.
Yes.
Because Brandt, what he did was he made a decision to offer forgiveness. And I love what he says that, you know, I'm not speaking for my whole family. I'm speaking for me.
Yeah.
He's saying, look, there's people in my family that still are angry with you that, that don't want to see you succeed in life.
Yeah.
But I am going to relinquish my right. Not saying that what you did was right.
Yeah.
But I'm choosing to not hold on to this bitterness. I'm choosing to not hold on to the toxins of harboring unforgiveness.
And one of the things about this definition of forgiveness, and just, it's not just a definition, it is the working definition of what forgiveness is.
Yeah.
It is so personal. Nowhere in there does it say, forgiveness is releasing resentment so that the other person feels something.
Right.
Or doesn't feel something. This understanding of forgiveness, and not to make it sound selfish, but it's about my heart.
That's good.
Forgiveness is about me. And so even when Botham's brother got up there, he wasn't saying, hey, look, I don't want you to feel bad for what you did. Because let's be honest, what she did was horrendous.
Yeah.
But he said, I'm choosing to forgive you.
Yeah.
And for those of us who understand biblically what forgiveness does, it releases us. It also opens us up to walk in freedom.
Yeah.
It lifts burdens. I mean, it truly brings healing to our soul to be able to forgive. But there's also an understanding of what forgiveness does on a physical level.
Yeah, like a chemical level in our body.
Yeah, like when we harbor resentment, when we bottle this up, and especially when we do it under denial and say, well, I've forgiven you. I just never want to see you again. And don't you dare talk to me.
oh, that's close to home for somebody.
Right. When we do that, it actually causes physical decay.
Yeah.
It shortens our life.
Wow.
To carry that. So what he was saying to her was not, hey, look, don't sweat it. What you did, no big deal. Clearly, this has impacted his life and will forever.
Yes. Yes.
But what he was saying was, I believe one of the testimonies from that experience was, I love God more than my feelings.
Mm.
I love God more than how angry I am with you.
Yeah.
And so I'm choosing to release myself from this cloud and this weight of anger and resentment and wanting harm on you.
Yeah.
I'm going to release myself from it. And when you have that perspective, when your eyes are opened and your heart is opened to receiving the truth that forgiveness is about your heart.
That's right.
Not the other person. It will change your life. Like
we're
in our 30s and I think we're still learning this.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like, oh wait, I need to forgive you. Not because of you.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with your actions.
Yeah, we tend to think that if I forgive them, then they're going to think it's okay for me. It's okay for them to do this to me.
But here's the thing. What other people think is none of your business.
That should be on a t-shirt.
You know what it is? It is in our store. But the truth is, what other people think is not your concern. You don't have to manage their thoughts.
You can't control it.
No, you can't control what they're going to think.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, that releasing that poison that's been just soaking in your cellular level.
Yeah.
Your body reacting negatively because you've been harboring anger and hatred and vengeance towards people. It's so necessary for a healthy life.
Yeah.
To feel the freedom. And not only that, I mean, Jesus did tell us that if you don't forgive others, then your heavenly Father will not forgive you.
Yeah.
And so on a personal level, again, we're talking personal level.
Yeah.
As an individual who walks with Christ, you have to understand that Jesus is the one that reconciles all debts.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's the God of justice. He says, vengeance is mine, thus says the Lord.
I will repay.
And so when we hold on to bitterness and anger, what we're saying is, God, I don't trust that you're going to take care of it. So I have to punish them.
Yeah.
And that's not a faithful place to be.
Yeah.
A faithful place to be is say, okay, Lord, handle them the way that you want to handle them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to step out of it. I'm going to stop getting in between you and them. And I'm going to let you deal with it.
Yeah. Because when we don't do that,
yeah,
we put ourselves in that position of being God, and saying, well, I'm going to exact judgment, perfect judgment and wrath on this person.
Because I know everything.
Because I know all situations and I know them perfectly. First of all, we're lying to ourselves.
Straight up.
We're lying about who God is. And we are calling God a liar because, well, you're not going to take care of it, so I'm going to take it into my hands.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, what we do when we hold that in our hearts, we then will go and live our lives as though we are forgiven.
Hmm.
We will boast in our forgiveness in the cross.
Yeah.
We will go to church and we will sing songs about how I'm forgiven. And then
that's crazy.
Then we will leave and have this bitterness in our souls. And that's a faulty witness.
Yeah.
There's nothing more abrasive and offensive
and hypocritical
to the church than someone who is raising their hands on Sunday morning and then bad mouthing someone who made them mad, you know,
yeah, who
four,
did
five,
wrong.
Six, 10 years ago.
Whether that person did something heinous,
right,
or did something trivial.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is when we say, I get to hold on to bitterness and unforgiveness.
Like, but God doesn't.
Yeah. What we're saying is what that person did to me is worse than the sin that I did that put Jesus on the cross.
Yeah, exactly.
So Jesus died for my sin, but I don't have to forgive this person.
Yeah.
So clearly my offense is greater than God's.
Yeah. And his blood doesn't cover your
sin. No, only my offense.
Yeah.
Your offense isn't covered.
Yeah.
You have to do more. You've got to go through me first. And then there's this parable that Jesus tells about the ungrateful servant. And the master forgives this guy of a debt,
mm-hmm.
and a major debt.
Yeah.
And this guy, somebody owes him money. And so he goes
it's way less.
Yeah. He goes to the dude that owes him money and he's like, hey man, get my money. And the dude was like, I'm sorry, I don't have it. And dude like chokes him and then tries to throw him in jail. So then the master comes and was like, how can you hold this over his head when I just forgave you?
Yeah.
And so that is the image that we have as Christians. It's like, we've been forgiven of everything.
Yeah. Past, present, future.
It's all on the cross. It's all in the blood of Christ. And yet we hold on to stuff. And we say, no, this person has to go through me. They've got to repay me first.
Yeah.
And then you can deal with them, Christ.
Which, I mean, if you want to take that approach, I just want to maybe let you know what you have to do to fulfill the price of forgiveness.
Mm.
If you do want to take that on, the only person who was able to do that successfully was murdered on a cross and publicly humiliated for it.
Yeah.
So if that's the role you want to take, I'm just letting you know. I'm just putting it out there for you. Here's the job description.
Yeah. But
sinless.
Yep. There we go.
Perfect life. And then public humiliation and death. Death by crucifixion. Oh, and carrying your own cross. Carrying the actual weapon that you are going to die on. That's what's in store for you.
Well, and here's the thing. You can't even
you
pay
can't
that
do
price.
It. Yeah.
Because you can't live a perfect life. And only Christ did that.
Yes.
So the forgiveness aspect, we praise the forgiveness. And it is such an awesome scene.
Yes.
If you ever watch that video, it's so
do it.
Beautiful.
It'll make you cry.
If you're viewing it through the lens of a personal decision that one person made to forgive someone who wronged them, who robbed them of a lifelong friend, who robbed them of someone they'll never get to spend time with on this side of eternity.
Yeah.
And that person, Brant Jean, made the decision to say, you know what? I'm going to release this.
Yes.
And I'm not going to live with this forever.
Yeah. So what it was not, though, we have to shift gears here because we're talking about forgiveness, personal relationship. What it was not was a statement about justice or the justice system.
Come on now.
And that's where I want to touch on that because we had a video we made last week just to kind of
hopefully
touch
you watched
on
it. Check our Facebook page.
Because I want to say that I think a lot of my brothers and sisters, well-meaning in sharing this, misappropriated the forgiveness as some sort of justice statement about the state of law enforcement or the state of race relations. And that is not what his forgiveness was about.
Yeah. Cause here's the thing we have, the title of our episode is one or the other. Like, is it a question? Do you have to have one or the other? It's a both and.
Yes.
Like we are called to individually forgive,
mm-hmm.
but we are also called to seek justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. That first part about seeking justice is looking out for those who are oppressed,
mm-hmm.
looking out for those who can't handle looking out for themselves because the system has been set up in such a way mm-hmm. that they don't have a voice. Seeking justice means looking to reconcile the wrongs that have been done mm-hmm. to those who have been beaten down and overlooked yeah. and manhandled and murdered and isolated. And like, as a believer, we can forgive individually, mm-hmm. but it is our job, it is our responsibility to seek justice
yeah.
in the broader scope of things.
Yeah.
And what seeking justice means is not, hey, I forgive you, so you know what? I'm just going to overlook all this other stuff. No, it's,
no.
Hey, I'm going to forgive you in this moment. But there is still, justice still calls. Like, there still needs to be reform. There still needs to be things that change about our justice system. Yeah. Because here's the thing. If you're looking at this situation with Brant Jean and Amber Geiger and Botham Jean and being like, well, you know, that's just one situation. And clearly it's not a big deal because there was forgiveness and yay, everyone's happy. Just yesterday, Tay Jefferson was murdered in her home in Fort Worth, Texas.
Inside her home.
Inside her home. She was sitting in her home playing video games with her nephew. And a police officer gave an order outside of her window. You can watch the video.
Yeah.
Gave an order outside of her window.
And 4 seconds later, she was dead.
Within 4 seconds, he fired through the window, shot this young woman who was a professional, who was educated.
Who was the same age as Botham.
Which is crazy, 28 yeah. years old. And so if you think like, oh, well, it's not really a major issue. There is a need for justice.
Yeah.
There is a need for Christians to stand up and stop hiding behind political lines
yeah.
and have compassion for people who are being murdered in their own homes.
Yeah.
To have compassion for people who can't seem to find justice. Because even in the case of Amber Geiger, even though she was convicted of murder, mm-hmm. she only got 10 years.
Yeah.
In Texas, where they give people the death penalty. Now, I'm not for the death penalty, but what I'm saying is,
is that justice?
That's not justice, because she's going to get 10 years in a protective custody mode in prison.
And may not serve all of it.
She won't, guaranteed. She's not going to serve the full 10 years because there's too many other people they need to throw in jail. They need those beds, right? Mm-hmm. And so Amber Geiger, for murdering a man in his own home, is getting off with such a light sentence
yeah.
that we can't say justice has been served.
Right.
We can say, hey, that's awesome. There's a conviction on the record now for a police officer who's mm-hmm. been found of misdoing, yeah. misconduct, or whatever, however you say that in the legalese.
Misaction.
Not doing the right thing.
That's actually the appropriate term.
Yeah, I think
it's
that's
in the
right.
textbook.
I was, just so you know, I was a criminal justice major for one semester.
Well, there you go.
And so I
knew, I could tell you had some knowledge of working knowledge of the jargon, as it were.
I've done a few shows, you know, I get it. But here's the thing. There's no justice in these situations.
Yeah.
And coming from, this is for all of those out there who don't have the lens of being a minority in America. Mm-hmm. Coming from our point of view, we have a different justice system. Mm. Our justice system doesn't work the same way.
Yeah.
We don't get the same breaks. The justice system doesn't work in our favor.
Yeah.
And so it's okay to say, listen, I praise the forgiveness that has happened between these two individuals,
yeah.
but I am still upset that there is an injustice in this world.
Yeah. And honestly, there were a few things that I had seen when this video was circulating that were to the effect of, see, he forgives. Why can't all of you?
Yeah.
Why can't all of you people, and that's not in a derogatory way, but why can't all of the minority community forgive like he has? Why can't
yeah.
you all see it the way he sees it? And the reality is not all of us have been through what he's been through. And we can forgive. And, you know, honestly, most of the minorities that I know, we do forgive.
Yeah.
We forgive in the moment because Jesus said, how many times do we have to forgive my brother?
A whole bunch, I think, is the Message translation.
As the day is long till the cows come home. That's kind of the version that I have.
Yeah.
That he says, like, as many times as you're wronged.
Yeah.
Forgive. So the reality is that we're not forgiving.
Yeah.
It's that it continues to happen. And so then
that's right.
that threshold continues to get higher of like, okay,
yeah,
how much more, like, there is that longing for justice in the midst of extending forgiveness. And yeah. you have to understand that it hangs in a balance.
And here's another thing. You can't forgive a system that has not yet apologized or made it right. You can't forgive, just like if you were in any sort of work situation and the work was like, hey, just so you know, I know you worked overtime, but I can't pay you for your overtime. And I need you to come in next week to work extra overtime. You'd be like, listen, I'm going to go ahead and forgive you, but I need my money.
Yeah. And like, I'm not going to be able to keep doing that.
Yeah. Until you pay me, I'm not going to just sit here and work for free.
Yeah.
Like you need to pay
when
me.
When I see you paying
Yeah.
Others.
Everyone else is getting
everyone
their overtime.
Everyone else is getting paid. Yeah.
How come you can say like, oh yeah, we didn't pay you.
Yeah.
But wait, where's my apology? And how did you reconcile? How did you make that right?
Yeah.
Because what we're dealing with is a system that has never made it right.
Yeah.
And continues to overlook and oppress people of color.
Yeah. And that we still have to live under. It'd be different because in the job situation, I can walk away from the job.
Yeah, I can go
at
to
a
do
certain
new job.
Point, you know what? I can't live in this condition. I can't work with, I can't work like this. But the unfortunate reality is that when it's your government and your culture, you don't really have the option to say, look, I can't live like this. Okay, we'll find another country to go to then, I guess. Which, I mean, yeah, there are some that share that viewpoint.
Yeah.
Go back to wherever. But as we are American citizens, that's not something we can just say, well, I don't really want to do this whole democracy thing. It's not really working out for me.
For as many flaws as the United States has, there is the best system for bringing about justice.
Yes.
But what we need for justice is for believers, people of color, Anglos, what we need is everyone who is a follower of Christ to stand up and demand justice.
Yeah. And actually that's
your voice counts.
Yeah. The scriptures tell us about justice in so many instances.
Yeah.
I mean, if you read the Psalms, one of the things we see God praised for is the fact that his throne is established in justice.
That's
that
right.
He will, I'm just looking at like Psalm 140.
Okay.
It says, I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor.
Yeah.
Psalm 103, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed.
Yeah.
Proverbs 21, when justice is done, it brings joy to the righteous, but terror to evildoers. Like justice breathes through the scriptures.
Yeah.
And the Lord, I mean, even when Jesus opens up the scroll and he starts reading, he's talking about justice.
Yeah. And then even in before that, before Jesus, Mary, when she finds out in the Magnificat, right? This is in Luke 1. She is praising God because he has seen those who are humble.
Yeah.
He has sent those who are oppressors away empty.
Yeah.
And he has lifted up those who have been oppressed. And he has fed the hungry and filled the good. And a lot of times we try to over-spiritualize that. Like, well, it's those that are hungry for righteousness.
And
no, what Mary's talking about in here is that Jesus, well, she didn't say Jesus, but God sees those who are downtrodden, who are hungry, who are abused, and he acts on their part.
Mm-hmm.
And so as believers who follow the God of Abraham, Isaac, Mary, and Jesus's father, you know, as Christians who say that we want to live our life like Christ, you want to render to Caesar what Caesar's, but you don't want to become Caesar.
Right.
We have to live in the world and share our kingdom of God with those who are proclaiming the injustices of the world.
Yeah. So when we look at our justice system as believers, it is not unpatriotic. It is not anti-American. It is not any of those painted evil things to stand up and say, this is wrong.
It's actually patriotic to do that.
Yes, because that's the foundation of this nation, to be able to stand up and say, this is not right. This is unjust.
Yeah.
This is not equitable for all people.
Yeah.
It's good to do that. It's good to recognize that. And I mean, God's word speaks so much on justice, mercy, oppression, freedom, forgiveness, all of these things working together in the kingdom.
Yeah.
And sometimes it means we have to step outside of our comfort zone to acknowledge that this is wrong and there is a way to make it right. That may not, because when righteousness happens, it goes well for some.
Yeah.
But then for the evildoers, it doesn't. So yeah, when this is fixed, when this system is put right, it may mean that the people who have been benefiting at the top don't get to benefit anymore.
That's right.
But that is justice. And so yeah. when we look at this case of Amber Geiger, we can say it's good that forgiveness was extended.
Yeah.
And that is godly. And that is such a testimony. And I hope that people who watch that who aren't believers were like, wow, that's amazing. But it is not an indication that justice has been served.
No.
And we have to still mourn the fact that now two people that were involved in that case,
yeah.
two a witness, an innocent witness,
yeah,
and
Joshua
an innocent
Brown,
man,
murdered.
Are now dead.
Yeah.
And that there has been nothing demanded for their lifeblood.
Yeah.
And we know in all things, God redeems all things. And he, like, he
ultimately,
says,
he
ultimately,
will. Ultimately,
he it will be repaid. But on this side, while we're here, we still have the responsibility, church,
yeah.
to speak up. And honestly, there was a conversation we had where I was like, I don't know if this case is just going to kind of get swept under now that, okay, yay, we got somebody prosecuted and she's been found guilty and she's yeah. going to go to jail. Now, are we just going to kind of move on to the next thing? And honestly, the community of Dallas does not feel that way.
No.
Looking at just the way that people in the community have responded, their hearts are broken. They're just as confused and hurt
yeah.
by the verdict and the sentencing. They're like, wait a second. We thought we had it in the bag that justice was finally going to come and our community yeah. would be able to heal from some of this racial brokenness.
Yeah. Some bros serving 20 years for selling drugs. Ain't
right.
hurt nobody. I mean, you know, physically.
Yeah. And so there's a whole community of people who have been walking in this aftermath. And I'm sure there are pastors speaking into it. I'm sure there are believers,
oh, yeah.
you know, affecting change where they can. But those of us outside of it looking on, what are we saying? How are we engaging in our communities? I mean, we're in a small town in Kansas, so it's not like we have the same issues as Dallas. But
so like practical applications,
yeah.
how can someone actually make a difference? Well,
yeah.
here's the first thing I want to give. Believers, stop trying to defend anything when you're in these conversations. In the moment when someone is grieving and someone is sharing with you, this hurts my heart.
Yeah.
Our job at that moment is to have compassion.
Yeah.
Which compassion, the actual word means to suffer with. That
yeah.
means in the moment, you don't look down and be like, oh, wow, they're really upset, I guess. It's like, wow, I feel your pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to do something. I want to be here with you in the moment. So compassion is a huge key to
yeah.
living a Christian life in a world, especially in the United States, where compassion is looked at as a weakness.
Yeah.
It's looked at as a character flaw in some situations.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, there is no greater witness to the gospel than being a kind, compassionate person
yeah.
in a world that is so full of self and so full of digging our heels in and putting us against them.
Yeah. And honestly, one of the things that goes with compassion is humility.
Yeah.
There may be a point where you're listening to someone talk about something, and you maybe have even heard us talk about something on any of our episodes, and you can go, you know, I don't know what that feels like. I don't really have a feeling of I'm suffering with you in this.
Yeah.
Have the humility to admit that.
Yeah.
If your Black friend or your Latino friend comes to you and is like, I've experienced this and it really hurt my feelings. And okay, you may not know exactly what they feel because you may have never experienced that in your life.
Yeah.
Have the humility to say, I am so sorry. I don't know what that feels like.
Yeah, I've never experienced that.
I've never experienced that, but please tell me more, or please know that I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're not saying I'm sorry, like I need you to forgive me for the wrong that this person did
That's
to you.
Right.
You're
That's
saying,
right.
I'm sorry that you have had to experience this. I'm
yeah.
sorry that sin has so tainted the world that we have to walk around and treat people this way. I'm so sorry.
That's
Just
right.
be sorry over the sin, over the
be
brokenness.
Broken over. Weep with those who weep.
Yeah.
Mourn with those who mourn. As a Christian in the United States, stop trying to defend a political group. I don't care which side of the table you're on. Stop trying to defend people who are in power who, first of all, probably don't know you exist. Stop trying to defend an ideology because
yeah.
you're afraid that it means there's a shift in the paradigm of our country.
Mm.
Engage with the individuals in front of you.
Yeah.
Whether that's in a real life conversation or if you have friends on Facebook who say, hey, I feel this is an outrage. Don't jump on there and be like, well, you don't understand how.
Yeah.
No, that is the worst way to share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Send them a private message and say, hey, I really don't know where you're coming from. Do you think you could share more with me?
Yeah.
You still have to validate as a believer, validate other people's experience and stop trying to negate experiences that you've never had.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other practical application. Speak into electoral positions.
Mm-hmm.
Speak justice into those with your vote.
Yeah.
If there are people that you know have had a history, a track record of injustice,
mm-hmm.
Vote them out as judges are voted in.
Yeah.
Vote sheriffs out. They're voted in as well.
Yeah.
I mean, use your voice as someone who is a U.S. citizen in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Use your voice to affect change.
Yeah. And vote. Like actually
Definitely go vote.
Register and vote. It's very simple.
It is.
If you legally are able to vote, there is no reason whatsoever that you would not use the voice that you have. And I'm not talking about the keyboard voice.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the walk in to the location near you and put it on paper or in the little machine thingy.
That's right. Whatever God calls you to, wherever you see injustice, speak into it.
Yeah.
With your voice, with your vote, with your compassion, with your time. If there are issues in your community that you can speak into, that you can share the gospel in action, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Compassion.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a third thing, or I don't know what number we're on.
A third thing.
To do with the issue of justice and forgiveness. You need to seek forgiveness in your life and you need to not exact justice, but you need to seek the Lord's definition of justice in those situations where you have been done wrong.
Yeah.
Or where you have done others wrong, because we are all carrying both.
That's right.
It is both and.
Both and.
And you have, I mean, we understand that people forgive in their own time. So if someone doesn't want to forgive you, that's on them. But you need to do what's right to seek that forgiveness.
Amen.
As far as it depends on you.
Amen. Well, we hope this conversation, first off, we don't want it to end. So jump on our social media, comment. If there's something that you heard and you're like, wow, I want to know more about that, let us know. If you have questions or insights, please get at us.
Please.
But we hope that this conversation has encouraged you, that it's challenged you, that it's empowered you to take that next step in seeking both forgiveness and justice.
All right. And next week's episode is called Tell It Like It Is. And we're going to be talking about kind of
just what we alluded
what to. What we alluded to before, just that kind of candid, almost too honest attitude that we tend to have in our culture. And we hope you'll enjoy that too.
This has been the Nick Smith Podcast.
We hope you've gotten a dose of real life.
No myth.
Be blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Nick Smith Podcast. We are so glad that you joined us, and we hope that you'll consider subscribing so that you can tune in each week. Don't forget to rate and share this podcast. And if you haven't already, follow us on social media. If you want to be a part of our family's mission to entertain, educate, and empower others, please consider becoming one of our Patreon supporters. Exclusive Nick Smith merchandise is available to you through our online store at www.nicksmithpodcast.com.